Well, you heard what I said. Second Thessalonians verse 2. And we're going to start in verse 10. We'll start in verse 10. It says here, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. Now, this is basically saying the same thing that Paul said in the first chapter of Romans, that therefore God has turned them over to a reprobate mind, that they would receive the just recompense of their way of life. How this got into society, I can understand there have been secret perverts keeping in the closet, not wanting to be known. But now this thing has come out with pride marching in the streets, broadcasting their sin. We're in your face. I remember hearing an actual recording when the woman's lib thing was moving, maybe 20 years ago. And this woman came out with her statement. She says, we're women, we're liberated, and we're in your face. We're in your face. In other words, we're not going to go quietly. We're going to bring this thing right out loudly and proudly. And we're going to change society like this. All right, let me go back to some of the earlier verses here in 1 Thessalonians. Now, the whole coming of this is the first verse. The whole reason for Paul writing this is that the Thessalonian people believed that the day of the Lord had come. By the way, do you know there are people today, there are Christians today that believe that the day of the Lord has come? Did you know that? I didn't know that, but I found some people that do. I said, how can you say this? They said, we believe it happened when Rome went in and destroyed Jerusalem. That was the day of the Lord. Well, he isn't here, is he? His kingdom isn't being manifest very much, is it? I don't remember the man of sin being seen yet. Well, let me read it. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming, that word is coming, is the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. In other words, don't believe any report. Well, that was, you know, when Paul wrote that, it was before Jerusalem was destroyed. So, it's happened since then. That's what they say. No, it hasn't. Let me go on. Let no man deceive you, all right? Now he's talking about deception of Christians. In Romans 1, it was deception in society, in the world. Here is Christians. Let no man, who? Man. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come two things. One, a falling away. Falling away what? That word is apostasy. The church. Church turning away from God. Has that happened? Yes. Of course it has happened. It's happening now. Turning away from God. And then a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Has that happened? No. But there have been some pretty good candidates. Men have tried to be that man of sin. I don't know, maybe Alexander the Great wanted to be. Maybe Hitler wanted to be. I believe the devil was pushing him to be the man of sin. Stalin, a good candidate for the man of sin. Idi Amin, a candidate, although his empire wasn't quite that big, but he manifests himself as if he were the man of sin. Hating Christ, hating God's people, persecuted. Some of the popes, probably, a good candidate. I think every pope is a good candidate, no matter what time and generation they live in. If they get the power, they'll use it. Amen? Man of sin, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshiped, so that as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, you see, if you take this verse, like the carnal man, the non-spiritual man, takes this verse, and he says, well, in order to be a real Antichrist, he's got to go down there in Jerusalem, and he's got to sit in the temple. Well, the problem is there's no temple there right now. Well, then the Jews are going to have to rebuild that temple so that there can be an Antichrist. So, no, we're not going to have an Antichrist right away, they say, because it's going to take them quite a while to build that temple, and then the devil has to send his man in there. Come on, brethren. Let us be spiritual men. Setting in a temple. What temple? What? Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Come on, that's where Satan wants to sit. He doesn't want to go sit in some stone building somewhere. That doesn't appeal to him. He's after the souls of men. He's after the hearts of men. He's after the throne in the heart of men. And it looks like he's doing a pretty good job out there in society. Amen? So he wants to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He wants the supreme position. He's wanted that all along. That's what caused his fall. I will ascend to the Most High. I will ascend unto the sides of the north. I will be like the Most High. Amen? All right. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know that withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. This verse means you know what's holding him back. Well, here again, the rapture people, they take this verse and say, well, it's because of the Christians that are here that haven't been raptured yet, and the Holy Spirit is here among us, and therefore the Holy Spirit is holding him back. But as soon as the Christians are all raptured off into the clouds somewhere, then it won't hold him back anymore. Come on now. The Holy Spirit is the one, whether we're here or whether we're not here, that's holding back the Antichrist from being revealed and manifest. It's not God's time for him. Amen? For the mystery of iniquity. Now, what we were talking about in this woke culture in the beginning of our meeting here of the rise of the homosexual, the lesbian movement, and the wrath of God being revealed against. Come on, brethren. The wrath of God is going to be revealed. Listen, the flood of Noah really happened. It is a historical event. Now, okay, maybe they haven't found the ark, but it is real. Evidence all over the world of the massive flood. And this is why the modern liberal church teachers say, well, you know, part of Genesis is just a, you know, just a story, you know, these things didn't really happen. They're just you know, fables. Yeah. No, come on. Sodom and Gomorrah. It really happened. You go to the salt flats there in Israel around the Dead Sea. That whole area is just nothing can grow. Fire and brimstone destroyed the whole thing. It really happened. Brethren, there is a wrath side of God, and it is going to be manifest against these things. Let that cup get full. It's filling up pretty fast. Let that cup get full, and it's going to be poured out. All right. And then, okay, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only now he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The way that should be, the way that should be translated, the literal translation of that is that the man of sin is being held back until he's released, and then he will come forth out of the middle of the road. Out of the middle of the way. The road way, the word way means road, the path, the broad way. Out of the middle, perhaps, of the church. I think Brother Seth believed that. Come, and he definitely believed that it would be the false church, the Babylonian church, that the man of sin was going to come forth from out of the midst of the road. That's literal. Go look it up Green, the literal translation. If you've got one of Green's literal translation, amen. All right, and then shall that wicked be revealed. See, this hasn't happened yet, brethren. The day of the Lord has not come. The wicked one has not yet been revealed. Candidates, but not one that has the influence over all the earth. Hitler had a lot of influence over Europe. Stalin over the eastern regions of Russia and some of those places. Not the whole earth yet, but it's coming. And Brother Daniels really brought our attention to what's going on down there in Switzerland. This thing's being put together, brethren. It's being put together. In its time, it's going to come forth. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume, oh, I like this, with a spirit of his mouth. Amen? With a spirit of his mouth, with a breath of his mouth. Amen? And shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's the parousia. The parousia of Jesus Christ. He's going to allow it for 3.5 years, and then his coming is going to annihilate this man of sin and his empire. Even him who's coming. Now that word coming is parousia. Satan is going to have a brief parousia. Even him whose parousia is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. There's your deception again. You see, society has opened their mind now to lies. They've opened their society that if you don't want to be a boy, you can change and decide I want to be a girl. If I want to be married to somebody of my own gender, well, who's to say I can't? I mean, after all, you know, who is to say they can't love one another? They should be able to do whatever they want, you know. What business is that of ours? I mean, what business does the government have of telling you what should go on in your bedroom? Oh, my. See, this is the thinking today. There is nothing in society's mind that is pollution, that is reprobate. Let them do whatever they want. Live and let live, you know. But, you know, the thing is, it's destroying our society. I'm talking from a world point of view. as a Christian, we know what it's doing. So let me go on. Lying wonders and with all deceivableness. Now here's where we get the title here of great deception. Of all deceivableness, of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What is the thing that will keep you from being deceived like this? How did they get caught in this? Because they did not have a love of the truth. Now, when you have a love of the truth, we read that word, the word is quick and powerful, dividing to the asunder of joints and marrow, divider between the soul, amen, and the spirit. The truth will cut, it will divide. And it will cut and convict us. It will move our conscience. Amen. And we will say, but I must obey this because I love the truth. So if you love the truth and you hear something that you don't like to hear, you're going to have to say, God, I have to be changed. I cannot go on believing what I have believed, because I've been wrong. So the love of the truth will save you from deception. They did not love the truth. Amen? And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. Strong delusion. That's my only explanation of what's happening in our society. Now, in this little village that we live in, it's not here. We talk to people on the street, and some of them have said, it's not here. It's not in this little rural community. But you go down in the big cities and among the intellectual people and the educated and all that, you're going to find this. I don't know if I mentioned this, but one of the, we have nine judges on the Supreme Court in the United States. Nine judges. Supreme. They're the highest judges of all. And they take in young law school graduates. They take them in as what do they call it? Apprentice, sort of. That's not the right word, but they mentor them, teach them, you know, the goings on of the high court. One of the Supreme Court judges has made a public statement that he will no longer take any lawyers that graduate. I forget whether it was Harvard or Yale, one of the top legal schools for graduating lawyers, considered the very cream. He said, I'll no longer take any of them intern. Yes, that's the word, intern, not apprentice, but intern. I will no longer take an intern from that medical school. You heard this, Jeremy? Because they are so filled with this woke culture, so filled with this with the stuff that I've been talking about this morning. The highest one, what was considered one of the highest, most prestigious law schools in America, he said, I will no longer take an apprentice from that school because of what the professors there are teaching them, the attitudes that they're being taught. And of course, he was a conservative judge. He wasn't one of the liberal ones. I forget his name, it doesn't matter. Strong delusion that they should believe Not a lie, but the lie. All right, what is the lie? See, the word a should be the. In the Greek, it's they should believe the lie. That means that there is a lie, one basic, original, foundational lie. What would that lie be? It was the one that Satan brought to the garden. He brought it to Eve, and Eve bought it. What was the lie? You shall be as God. In other words, you don't have to have any restraint. You can do what you want, and you can justify it. A fellow that I knew was practicing the homosexual lifestyle. He was supposedly a believer, brought up in a Christian home and all that, went to Christian schools. I said to him, how do you justify these verses? Things that, like in Romans 1 and in Deuteronomy. How do you justify this? I mean, it's in the law, it's in the New Testament, it's both places. How do you justify that? What did they tell you in the Christian school that you went to? By the way, it's no longer Christian, but they call it that. What did they tell you? He said, well, they said that these were just things the ancient Hebrews believed. They're just, you know, it's why they can say fables, you know, the flood was a fable. All that talk about Garden of Eden, that's just a fable, you know. It's just a story. It probably has some meaning, but don't take it literally. It didn't literally happen. So you can say, okay, well, ancient Hebrews believed that, but we don't believe that today. God isn't there. God's changed his mind about things like that today. So what you're basically saying is, I don't believe the Bible, so I'm going to write a new Bible. I'm going to write the things that I want, and I'll have it my way. And by the way, that is part of the reason they're writing all these new editions, because they'll be user-friendly. Babylon will love these new Bibles, and they can interpret them to give you the liberty to do whatever you want and live whatever way you want. That they might be damned. There's that word damned. That's what it means. It means that they might be condemned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So the whole key here is, do they believe the truth? Do they have a love for the truth? Now, by the way, not every Christian has a love for the truth. You take this rapture business and you try throwing that out in some Christian circles, and you're going to find a lot of flack. Like I found out when I asked the question of the brother, I said, brother, who are the elect? He knew where I was going. I mean, I was serious with my question. But he spit the words out at me. Well, the Jews, of course. That means don't raise that question in our circle. Don't raise that question in the Southern Baptist circle. Don't raise that question in most Pentecostal circles. Don't raise the question, are the elect going to be here during the great and terrible day of the Lord? Don't raise that question. We've been taught this, and we don't want to hear you. All right, but I'll invite any man. Take me on, challenge me, and let the word of God be the only criteria of what is true and what is not true. But we don't see it that way. I'm telling you, brethren, I am so grieved at what's happening in society. But still, I say, Lord, I'd like to be here and see it all come down. I want to see it come to. There's more to say about the truth. We'll say that another day. Amen. I think maybe I've done. I don't know what. I haven't been keeping track of time. But we'll let it go for now. Amen. And I'm sorry I forgot to turn the recorder on in the first half of this. So why don't you come in and tell me where I'm wrong, or tell me, or affirm what I've said. Oh, yes. Part of the lie. I got to say the whole thing here. What they're doing to change the genders of these children, you know what they call it? This is their word, because they want the state to pay for it. They call it gender-affirming care. It's not gender. This is a lie. It's not gender-affirming. It's gender-changing. And then to throw the word care in there, it's gender-changing destruction is what it is. I would really like to get a hold of the testimony of some men that have really been changed and really find out if they're really happy 10 years later with what happened. I don't think the press would allow any such a thing to come out on the airwaves. I do not believe it. Why did that big sports guy, what was he, a big swimmer? Why did he come back and change his mind about it? The other thing, abortion care. This is for the youth. Well, everybody has a right. See, these are rights. A right to a gender affirming care. A right to abortion care. When you say rights, see, this is not one of the rights that was in the Constitution. Life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness has nothing to do with it. Abortion care? How can you lie like that? It's not care. It's baby killing destruction. But the official term, when they come and ask for money, is abortion care. The woman needs care. She needs care to destroy the baby that's within. We're living in a world that is so full of lies, brethren, that we can hardly discern the truth anymore. You've got to have, I'm telling you, this thing is going to get worse. You say, Brother Mark, it can't get worse. Oh, it's got to get worse, because that cup is not yet full. I don't know what horrible thing could happen yet, but it's going to shock you. You're going to be appalled at what we're going to see happening in the next few years. Total destruction against the kingdom of God and the thinking that we have that is according to truth. All right, I've said what I'm going to say for today. God bless. I'm leaving the recording on.
Yeah. I was really thinking about how we see the society that we are living in today, and what are we discerning, and what is happening around us, and what is going on. And I was thinking about when the angel came to Abraham, because they were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, he was asking the Lord in it's Genesis chapter 18. And it is verse 23. he is asking, and he said, Abraham drew near and said, will also destroy the righteous with the wicked. So when we see all the things that is going on today, this is a question from Abraham. This is a question in our heart today.
Yes, amen.
Are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And if you look at what he, in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 22, they found a one righteous man in Sodom and Gomorrah. The whole city was in corruption. And it means that the government in the city was also corrupt. Everything was corrupt. Everyone was feeding their own desire. And God saved Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. But he says in chapter 19 and verse 22, he's speaking to Lot, and he says, hast thee escaped there? For I cannot do anything till thou come to there. He was telling him to go to the mountain. And that was the place of God that he wanted Lot to go to. But Lot was having a compromise. He had some compromise in his heart. I cannot go to this mountain, but there is a town here that is a little bit better than Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. Let me go there.
Yeah.
And God said, I cannot I cannot destroy Sodom and Gomorrah until you are there, because God is going to save the righteous one.
Yes.
He's going to save those who are righteous. And that is why we're seeing all these things is not coming to the end yet. It is because there is a righteous people crying in their heart what they are looking at. And God is going to send someone to them, maybe me, maybe you,
yeah,
to tell them, you have to go out because this is going to be under destruction. This is going to be burned out. And it is not going to be an earthly fire. It's going to be a fire from heaven. And you cannot escape this. And if you are righteous, it means that you are forgiven. If we are forgiven, we have been forgiven by our Savior. He has saved us. There is a forgiveness in our heart that makes us righteous people, to believe in Jesus Christ and wanting everything from him, looking to him and trust him. And when we do that, he says, I cannot put my judgment upon these things so long as you are in it. You have to leave. You have to go. And if you stay, I cannot do it. You have to leave this place. You have to go out. And when you go out, you will see the power and the mighty that God is. And when I look at these things, and he has been speaking to me about this mighty river that is flowing, there is a point in that when God speaks, that will be a blessing into our life, because we have a righteous life. But the blessing that comes to us will also be a curse unto the people that have rejected him, those who do not want him.
Look at him.
And we see, Mark spoke about the Amalek for a few weeks ago.
2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. And the story about the Amalek was that they were always attacking Israel. They had no benefit in it. They were just stopping them. they didn't want anything about what was in their life. But where did they come from? The Amalek came from Esau, and he rejected the blessing. He rejected the firstborn promise. And because he rejected to be a firstborn and having the promise in his life, this rejection went on. And Amalek was a third generation from Esau. And we know that the word said that sin will bring forth sin, and that sin will bring forth death. So when the Amalek was attacking Israel, they didn't want any part of what they were doing. They were just stopping them. And that is what our battle is today. even though I am living in a small town out of in the country, I am aware of what is going on in my country. But if I turn on the radio, if I turn on the news, it is in my house. And I have to choose to reject these things. I have to choose my mind. I want to go and pray for these things instead of listen to it. So now it was a good thing to study. It was a good thing to think about. And we know that what is going on in the world today, everything is shaping into a highest power of man that have been coming. And there is going to be formed a government over the whole earth. And it is not going to be just like the shape of our government, but it's going to be an organization. And there is going to be a 7 different organization on earth that will rule the earth.
We are seeing
this shaping, and it will come to power. And I will encourage you to look at what is happening in the fall in the United Nations in your country, because it is a meeting that there is a 2-person that is invited that is not chosen by the people. So it's a meeting that will take place, I think, in October. Charles Prince is coming, and Klaus Schwab is coming. And you can think about what are they going to speak about, think about. So blessing to you, brothers.
Amen. Amen. Well, England has their new king now, and he's long proclaimed himself to be in this favor of one world order. By the way, I got some correction here that I want to speak before we're finished. Some people sent, Jimmy, who is this Lee Strobel?
Oh, when you were talking about the Darwinism, Lee Strobel wrote a book making a case for Christ. So he basically refutes everything about the Darwinism and gives a, you know, I read it. It's been some years ago, but he basically, you know, just refutes everything he says and then gives him a case for why there is a God, you know?
Okay.
So I thought that's who you were alluding to, but
apparently. I might have been. I don't think I read the book, but I've heard somebody say the probability is way out there. Okay, another thing here, I'm talking about these places in Africa where the HIV rate is 19.5%, HIV and AIDS. Somebody wrote Eswatini. Is that a misspell? Followed by Lesotho and Botswana. They're very, very high HIV and AIDS rates there. And then somebody else is telling me where this word woke came from. They said it's from adjective African-American vernacular, English AAVE, meaning alert to racial prejudice and discrimination. In 2010, it spread to include social inequality, such as sexism. So this thing has spread from racial equality now to some kind of gender pollution equality. And it seems to have covered everything that's corrupt in our thinking anymore. And then Buttigieg, I said he was governor. No, he was mayor of South Bend, Indiana. I should have known that. I knew it was somewhere in Indiana. And one more correction here is it's not Yale or Harvard, it's Sanford. That this is the school. It's one of the big three, Sanford, Yale, Harvard. What? Stanford. Yeah, Stanford. Stanford University. Thank you for those little corrections and that little help along the way here. I'm sorry I didn't pick them up when you threw them out there. But it is true. I mean, these are not just fables that we're talking about here today. Steve. Yeah, go ahead, Mike. You look like you've got something to say.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on will God destroy.
You're not coming through, brother. Try it again.
I unmuted.
There you are.
You got me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to say something about will God destroy the righteous with the wicked? I know you're always hearing me talk about the principles of God. And they're so important because they help you to understand things when you realize just the basics, like, is God always just? Is God always thinking of you, all these attributes of God? When we know God for who he is, we can understand some of his ways. And so what's happening, what I believe God is doing, and this is the way Seth used to explain it, which I thought was just perfect. Most of you here probably have children, but it doesn't matter if you do or not. But let's just say that you have a son, and your son and a friend of your son's rob a bank together. And maybe they kill a couple people in the process or whatever. Now, let's just say that you are the supreme judge in the land. And just by your word, you can have someone put to death. So if you put to death your son's friend, but you let your son go free, you wouldn't be a just judge, would you? So God is a just judge. So he can't let... When Satan and you do something together, he can't put Satan to death and let you go free because he's a just judge. So what he's in the process of doing right now is separating Satan from you. He's got to get Satan out of you. So when you and Satan do something together, he can destroy Satan and save you. Okay? So that's what's happening right now, is he's trying to separate and get the things that you and the wrong spirit are doing together. He's got to get Satan out of you so he can justly judge him and justly save you. So that's what I believe is happening right now.
Amen. Thank you, Mike.
Mark?
Yeah.
One of the things that I felt like when you were talking about is kind of how numb you become to so many of these things that are going on. And, you know, it's like the Lord is going to have to make me something arise in me that wants to just really pray until I, you know, I'm in a place where I'm overcoming all that's going on around me and just have more of an empathy for the things that are going on. I feel like I'm sometimes just so numb with seeing and hearing everything that's going on. I don't know if you know what I mean, but.
Yeah. You know, hardening your heart is not the solution.
No.
I remember a time in my life when I had troubles, and, you know, I discovered later what I was doing was just hardening my heart to difficulty. And, you know, that wasn't the solution.
No.
That was the exact opposite thing. And when finally the Holy Spirit released me and I was able to weep and cry again, it was such a relief.
Yes.
And we have to remain tender in our heart in spite of this horrible wickedness that's going on around us, because we have to let the Spirit of God move upon us.
That's what I was feeling. I need to be able to weep before the Lord for the things that are going on.
Well, nevertheless, we shall live. And we shall carry out our lives, and we shall be among the righteous. What did it say? I think Daniel was talking about Sodom, about Lot. What did it say about his righteous soul was grieved at the wicked conversation? Isn't that what it says? I think it's in Jude. His righteous soul was grieved. Is that the word? Vexed. Yeah, there we go. Vexed. Well, we're being vexed. I don't know. I kind of think that Lot could have done a little more than that about it. There was nobody that told him he had to stay there.
You go ahead, Judy.
You know, while we were talking, I thought, I see my brothers and sisters growing in the Lord. I think that that we're close to, you know, we're in the end time. But I see my brothers and sisters all coming to a place that they've never been before. They're growing. And we're hearing things, you know. Our meetings in Dubuque, it's like every meeting is better than the one before. And I have really enjoyed being on your meeting too, because things are really, really good. But I just think God is bringing us all to a place that he won't forget any of us. That we're moving on. Amen.
Yes. No, he will spare the righteous. Well, blessed be the Lord. Looks like we've come to the end of our session. We usually have somebody pray a blessing as we come to an end. If there's no volunteer, I'll volunteer Brother Opie. He's been awful quiet today.
Can you hear me?
You can go ahead, Brother Edie. Anybody?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I just pray. Lord, we thank you for you love us so much. And you have given us all that we needed, that we will not perish with the world. Indeed, Lord, you will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. And indeed, you have put in place all that the righteous needed to separate himself from the wicked. We're asking you to grant us, and Lord, that we'll be able to take the grace that you are giving to enable us to separate ourselves. You said to come out of Babylon, to come out of her, my people, that we be not partakers of our sins and partakers of our judgment. Help us to run. Help us to escape while there is time, dear Lord. You came to Lot and you told him to hasten up. And you tell us that we should hasten unto the day of the Lord. We pray that our hearts will receive the urgency and will walk with the urgency that you are coming to us with this afternoon, dear Lord. Help us, O Lord. May we not be found, Lord, in the house of the harlot in this day.
Amen.
Of judgment. May we be found, Lord God, among them. May we be found among the virgins, wise virgins that have oil in their lamps and oil in their vessels. Lord, we bless you. He said that what manner of men ought we to be in such a time like this. We pray that in all our endeavors, in our waking up, in our lying down, in our going about the chores that we need to go about in the days, Lord, that we will be the men that we ought to be, dear Lord. Men that you will look and you will say, I have found faith. You said that when you come, will you find faith upon the earth? And you might find faith in us. And you might apply our hearts unto all that should be. And you might find faith in us. That you will declare from heaven that we are your people in whom you are well pleased. We pray that in the days to come, in the midst of all the reeling to and fro of the earth, in the midst of all the wickedness, and you will find the people that please you. You said that you found Noah, a man that pleased you in that generation of wickedness and rebellion. Lord, that you may find in us the hearts, the people that please you. Bless us, we pray. Thank you for all that you have showed us today. Lord God, let them be part of the things that will, Lord, guide our lives, our conversation in the hours and days and months to come. We bless you, our God. Let your name be exalted. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. You coming, Regan? I guess we're closing out. Okay, till next time.
Thank you. God bless you, brother. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye. God bless you.
Goodbye.